Well, we were talking about the elephant room. The leader of it is James McDonald. And it's amazing to me. Many of the people here in the Lancaster area told me of the fact that when James McDonald was teaching through the book of Revelation on the radio, the local radio station here in Lancaster, in the middle of the study, he said, hey, wait a minute, I'm changing my eschatology. I'm no longer believing that the rapture happens before the seven-year tribulation period, but I'm changing to mid-trib. Or some have even said he was talking about pre-wrath. What in the world is he talking about? And in fact, he quit his study on Revelation at that point. And so I wanted to get Dr. Rennie Showers. I told you earlier that he did an excellent job on Thursday evening, a special night of Bible prophecy in connection with our School of Prophets here in Lancaster. And Rennie, I just want to take a few moments. We don't have a lot of time, but why? Tell me, first of all, mid-trib, pre-wrath, just a quick explanation of that. But why are these people moving in that direction as they accept an eschatology that doesn't seem to be biblical?
Well, Jimmy, they're not exactly the same view. The mid-trib view says that Christ will not rapture the church out of the world until the exact middle of the seven-year tribulation period. The pre-wrath rapture view takes it further into the tribulation period and says that it won't rapture the church out of the world until maybe three-fourths or two-thirds of the way through the seven-year tribulation period, and then we'll come and rapture the church out of the world. Now, there are problems with both of those views, and a major one for both of them is the imminency concept of Christ's return in the Bible. The Bible indicates that the time that Christ comes to rapture the church is an imminent event. And the word imminency comes from the Latin verb immineo, which literally means hanging overhead. And the idea is when an event is imminent, it's always hanging over your head. It could happen at any moment. You can't count on any period of time between now and that event taking place. Now, the mid-tribulation rapture view, the people say the tribulation hasn't started yet, so therefore, Christ cannot come and rapture the church out of the world for at least another 3.5 years. That does away with imminency. If it can't happen for another 3.5 years, then it's not imminent. It can't happen at any moment. The pre-wrath rapture view has it, they believe the tribulation hasn't started yet either, and that it won't be until maybe, say, 5 to 5.5 years into the tribulation period. That destroys the concept of imminency for the rapture of the church. And so the Bible, when I was researching for the book that I did on the rapture, I found that New Testament Greek scholars, regardless of their theological background, said that there are at least 16 passages in the New Testament that teach the imminency of Christ's return. And so the only view that comfortably fits that concept of imminency is the pre-tribulation rapture view, which says a good number of things may happen before the rapture takes place and before the tribulation period begins and everything, but biblically, from our perspective today, nothing must happen between now and Christ coming to rapture the church out of the world, and therefore it could take place at any moment.
That then means that these men who are claiming that is their eschatology, they're not basically studying the Word of God, are they?
Well, they claim to be, and I don't doubt, you know, that they love the Word of God and they're studying everything, but they're overlooking that. Plus, interestingly, with the pre-wrath view, I know this at least because I interacted with us so much, they claim that there is no wrath of God until the seventh seal is broken upon planet Earth and everything here unleashed upon planet Earth. And so they say that, like in the first four seals, it talks about the sword, which means war, famine, pestilence, and wild beasts, and they claim that's totally the wrath of man, not the wrath of God, you know, being poured out upon planet Earth until you come to the seventh seal being broken. But interesting, when you look at the first four seals, they include war, famine, pestilence, and wild beasts. And back in Ezekiel chapter 14, verse 21, God says this statement, "These are my sore or severe judgments, war, famine, pestilence, and wild beasts." That's God's wrath, instruments he uses upon planet Earth. And that's within the first four seals. And so that you've got that taking place before the middle of the tribulation period, or even two-thirds of the way through, that these other views hold to. In addition, who is breaking the seals? Who's unleashing these things upon planet Earth? It's Christ doing that, according to Revelation at chapter 6, that Jesus takes the sealed scroll that has seven seals upon it, and he's breaking them one by one by one. And so he's the one that is unleashing these things upon planet Earth as part of the wrath of God. Now, Paul, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the last several verses, teaches about the rapture of the church. Then when he comes immediately to chapter 5, in the Greek text, the first two Greek words he uses indicates, I'm now shifting subjects. I'm no longer talking about the rapture. I'm now talking about the future day of the Lord, which he said is going to break in upon the people here upon planet Earth like a thief breaking in at night. And you know, the idea there is no thief worth his salt is going to forewarn his victims ahead of time, I'm going to break into your home a certain time and rob you. What he's saying there is that the unsaved world is going to be taught totally off guard, because he says that at the same time that people are running around saying we finally have peace, we finally have safety, they're going to get just the opposite. That's when God's wrath breaks in upon planet Earth. And it says it'll catch them off balance and everything, surprise them. Like, and our English translations say birth pangs of a woman, but the Greek text literally says the birth pangs, singular, of a woman. And he's saying there that God's wrath, the future day of the Lord, will break in upon the unsaved world, catches them totally by surprise, like the birth pang of a woman. Now, a woman who's with child, she knows she's going to have birth pangs, but she never knows when that first birth pang is going to hit her. And that's what will catch her by surprise. And so he's saying there that later on in that chapter, he's indicating that this is God's wrath being poured out upon the world. And he says in verse 9 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we have not been appointed to God's wrath. He's saying God has not appointed his church saints to the outpouring of his wrath that he's going to give upon the unsaved world when the future tribulation period begins. And it's interesting, Jesus in Matthew 24 divides the tribulation period into two halves. He talks about the beginning of birth pangs, which are going to be severe, but they're not the most severe. And then in the second half, verse 21 of Matthew 24, he talks about the great tribulation that's unparalleled in all of time, and that's the hard labor birth pangs, using the analogy of a birth cycle of a woman delivering a child. She has the early birth pangs, and they're no picnic, but she knows that after those, the hard labor birth pangs are coming. And so Jesus puts even the first birth pang at the beginning of the tribulation period, and it's when God's wrath is poured out upon the earth. And Paul, translation of God, says there in verse 9 of 1 Thessalonians 5, we, the church saints, are not appointed to God's wrath. The implication is Christ will rapture the church out of the world before God's wrath begins to be poured out upon planet Earth during the first half of the future seven-year tribulation period.
Wow. A understanding of God's word gives us the evidence, indeed, that there's no such thing as mid-trib or pre-wrath rapture of the church. It happens, and the rapture takes place, and 7 years of judgment upon the earth unfolds. Now, that's the book of Revelation, chapter 4. Starting in verse 1, it says the rapture happens, and in verse 2, at the end of verse 1, it says, and I'll show you the things that are going to happen after the rapture, 16 chapters, detailed information. plus an additional information from 1 Thessalonians 4 and 5, and also Matthew 24. Rennie, thank you so very much for helping us to understand the problems in eschatology for some of these people that supposedly are the leaders of our church world today. We so appreciate your time with us on Thursday night, and thank you again for being available today, Rennie. God bless you.
Our privilege, Jimmy. Thank you.